Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, it's Felger here, and in the NBA, the game can change in an instant. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you'll get an instant dub. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook and only with the code SPORTSHUB. The crown is yours.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 or older. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Hey, it's Felger here, and in the NBA, the game can change in an instant. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you'll get an instant dub. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook and only with the code SPORTSHUB. The crown is yours.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 or older. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Is it possible to help businesses of all sizes transform, grow, and thrive? With the advanced connectivity and intelligence of global secure networking, it's happening. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
All right, back here on the Shaws and Star Market Patriots post-game show. Merry Christmas. Joe Murray, Leroy Irvin, and the defender of the game. Presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, the company that finishes every job strong. Let them defend your home from any plumbing, heating, cooling, or electrical issues. When your home can't wait, call 128. Visit call128.com. We are now joined by Greg Bedard, up late with us here from the Boston Sports Journal. Just speaking of the defender of the game, it was Christian Barmore who had three sacks tonight, a bunch of pressures, and no, the last player to have those kind of stats was Aaron Donald. So your thoughts on Christian Barmore's nights on defense. Merry Christmas, Greg.
Merry Christmas. I mean, look, the guy was spectacular tonight. He had a really good matchup coming into this game that I thought he was going to be able to exploit against the left guard of the Broncos, who I'm just trying to figure out what his name is, if I can make this out. Ben Powers. He's definitely the weak link of that Broncos offensive line. Meinhurst on the other side, the right guard, is pretty good. And so, I thought Barmore, I mean, he was tremendous. I mean, this is the type of performance that when I go back and watch it on film at some point tomorrow, I have a feeling he's going to mess up my stat sheet because he filled it up so much. You're just dominating and sort of, you know, where he's been probably since about the quarter point of the season, he's been terrific. So, you know, good for him. And hopefully this is just a sign of things to come for him.
All right, Greg, what'd you think of Bailey Zappi's night tonight?
I thought Zappi, you know, he was good for the most part. I mean, you know, I thought the first half was a little bit clunky. I thought, you know, overall, I thought the biggest thing was he made big plays. I mean, they had, I think, five pass plays of 20 or more yards. They all seemed to be, you know, really big. he had to deal with pressure. He had to deal with Hunter Henry and Juju Smith-Schuster being out. I thought the receivers overall, I think I had them. I was just looking for the stats. So the three receivers, they were, I have it here. Okay, they were 11 of 15 on targets for 172 yards. That's Douglas, Parker, and Reagor. I think Zappe did a good job. It's not a very good defense. I thought that Vance Joseph was, way too over aggressive. It seemed like they blitzed almost every down, maybe every other at the end of the day. To me, that's not really conducive against the Patriots, against Zappe. You sort of need to mix things up a little bit more. I mean, when you give Zappe the opportunity, one-on-one he gets one-on-one matchups, like he likes to just throw it up. And that's actually playing into what he wants to do, how he wants to play. And I thought that was a mistake by Vance Joseph. I thought he made it a little bit too easy on Zappe, but, I thought he did a good job. I mean, at the end of the day, his stats look good. The stats for the Patriots, I mean, they only had two drives over 43 yards in the game. They had a lot of single-digit drives. It was good for the Patriots and Zappe. I wouldn't say it was absurdly good or anything like that.
A lot of people have either called in or hit us up on social media talking about the win possibly having some sort of impact on the Crafts when it comes to making a decision on Coach Belichick after the season is over. Do you see any change there because of this win?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, again, this is the same sort. So they've won, two games in the last 3 weeks against Mitch Trubisky and against a Broncos team that's not going to be in the playoffs. To me, I don't know why it would change things in the big picture on what's wrong with this team, which is a lack of talent. It's more Belichick's GM duties. It's talent and the assistant coaching staff, which Belichick is directly in charge of, that have led to the downfall of this team, which is not just a one-year thing. This has been a multi-year slide that sort of bottomed out this year. So I don't know why it would change anything.
How about the draft status? We were saying it was a Christmas miracle. It might be a Christmas nightmare. Right now they sit at 4, and if they could potentially win another game or two, the pick would be as low as 10. So we'll see how this plays out here, but I didn't see any tanking going on tonight.
No, and I haven't this year. I mean, it's been sort of sort of a convenient storyline that you hear from some Patriots fans who, especially the guys who, believe in Belichick, they lose to the Giants or the Chargers or the Chiefs, and it's, they're tanking. Belichick is trying to get a better draft spot. To me, I don't pay any attention to that. It's a completely foreign concept to me. It's definitely a foreign concept to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I haven't seen any indication on film going into this game, and certainly nothing that I saw in this game that would lead you to believe that that was the case. They keep playing, the same way. And it seems like, they're able to, come up with victories or better performances against teams that are somewhat at their talent level. And they struggle otherwise. And so that's sort of, how you end up at 4-11.
Joe and I were talking about how in the fourth quarter, the Patriots went into the fourth quarter with the lead, and it seems as though they kind of took the air out of the ball on offense and kind of sat on the lead. Do you think that the coaching staff still is lacking confidence in the offense, especially Bailey Zappe and what they could potentially do?
I don't know if it's specific Zappe related. I think it's the totality. And look, let's just be clear. Those decisions, the decisions to play certain situations a certain way, certainly a conservative way, that's on Belichick. He dictates to O'Brien how he wants to manage the game, and I understand it. I mean, look, they're down Ramondre Stevenson, Hunter Henry, Juju Smith-Schuster, a bunch of you know, sort of, you know, unknown guys or certainly inexperienced guys. The line's been a, you know, crap show all year, and injuries have not made it any better. Where, I mean, they bring up James Ferentz from the practice squad, and on the first play of the game, you know, he gets tossed around like, you know, Leroy gets tossed around by Joe during the postgame show, like, you know, really easily, and, you know, leads to an opening fumble, and then Trent Brown and Vidarian Lowe are doing some sort of dance. And Antonio Maffey's coming in and he's getting holding penalties. And like, look, the Patriots are where they are on offense. They're just not any good. And, you know, Zappi has certainly had his moments. But he's not the type of guy who's, you know, going to, you know, all of a sudden become, you know, Tom Brady or somebody like that and just lift everyone up. You have to, you know, they had a lead. You have to manage the situation. You have to play clock and things like that. And I thought Belichick did it the right way. There was a 4th-and-2 call in the second quarter that I didn't agree again with. It was similar to last week. You know, I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive in those type of spots, especially with, you know, how aggressive the Broncos were being and sort of, you know, allowing one-on-one matchups. And I thought 29 McMillan, their slot cornerback, was getting roasted all day. He was awful. The Patriots took key advantage of that game after, you know, down after down. And I just think that Belichick managed it the right way and Sean Payton didn't. I thought Sean Payton got completely outcoached in this game. I didn't understand the 2 timeouts so quickly with less than a minute left when it looked like the Patriots were at least going to give the Broncos the opportunity to, you know, play for overtime. So, you know, I thought Belichick did a really nice job managing this game with what he has, especially on offense.
Yeah, at the end of the game, those runs that many people might not like, well, he ended up taking the timeouts there. And it gave Bailey Zappi that manageable third down. We'll get into that one here on the other side. Greg Bedard joins us from the Boston Sports Journal. We got Leroy Irvin here as well. I'm Joe Murray. This is the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports on Patriots Radio Network.
The run-up and the swing of the leg by Ryland. His kick is driven toward Mims. He taps his chest. He's going to return it. No, he's going to drop it. Picks it up at the 4. Runs to the left hash mark 10. Boom! It's knocked loose. It's picked up by New England.
Touchdown.
It's a touchdown, Patriots. Covered up by Cody Davis. Off initially. A momentary recovery. And then Cody Davis, after the ball was knocked free, covering up in the end zone. Mims ran it left. The ball was knocked out by Marte Mapu. That's his second takeaway in as many weeks. And Davis falls on it for a New England touchdown.
Great call, Bob. Great call. And you got an ass kicking on Christmas Eve in Denver taking place right now in this third quarter. I mean, it was 7-3 at halftime. Look at the unanswered points. Look at the energy on the bench. Don't think this team's quitting.
Well, no quitting the Patriots tonight in their 26-23 win. And the Nvidia Bank and Adrian Phillips have teamed up to be a champion for a child to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Metro West. New England's defense forced 2 turnovers. So Nvidia Bank donates $2,000 to help at-risk youth and donated $16,000 so far this season. Nvidia Bank, honest to goodness, member FDIC, member DIF. Leroy Irvin's here. I'm Joe Murray. We're joined by Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. What did you think of that play there by the old special teams? And, you know, they struggled in one area, but they made a play, and kind of a big play in the end when you look back at it.
You mean how Marvin Mims muffed the ball twice and handed it to the Patriots and gave them 7 of their 26 points? I would file that under a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. You know, we also had, would they give up a huge punt return to Mims? Schooler ran right by him. I mean, you know, look, it is what it is. It's a fortunate play. You make it by hustling. The Patriots hustled on that play, and it was a huge play in the game. Obviously, I mean, Zoe thought the game was over at that point, which a lot of us did. I mean, I certainly did. I thought the game might have been over, you know, when the Broncos were or when the Patriots were up 16-7. I was like, there's no way that the Broncos can put together 2 scoring drives. And then And then that happened in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, good job getting a turnover and putting up points. The Patriots certainly need that, even with Bailey Zappe at quarterback.
All right, so that drive heading into the game-winning field goal, they ran the ball with Zeke. They ended up, Zappe had a nice little play for 27 yards to Parker, who had a nice little night. They got the ball right around midfield, and then Zappe had that throw over the middle to Mike Gesicki, which eventually led to the spike ball and then the Chad Ryland field goal there. But, you know, what did you think about that drive there from Zappe? And I just wanted to read you a quote by Chad Ryland, which I hope they stamp on the football. But he wrote, "Oftentimes you find the greatest treasure in the darkest caves." And I've absolutely been struggling a little bit this year. But I just think overall, though, like this season, like they had the ball at their own 19, got it down to a point where they could have kicked the field goal. I just thought it was a pretty good effort all around. And I think that Devontae Parker deserves a little bit of a hat tip for the way he played tonight.
I thought Parker and all the wide receivers had a pretty efficient night. I'm just watching that play on film. So the Broncos did not blitz there. It's very interesting that they had two linebackers sort of near the first down marker. I think they thought they were just going to run the ball. It was one of those typical plays where Parker was going down the sideline against Pat Surtain in the back shoulder play. It's been one of Zappe's favorites. It's something that Mac Jones does not like to do. Very much so. Credit Zappe with that. You have to have a lot of, faith in the wide receiver and have to throw with good timing, which he did on that play. So, that was a big play. The Gesicki play, I actually wasn't a big fan of. I thought that, Zappe was maybe a little bit too conservative, and I thought that, not getting enough yards was going to cost them there. But it ended up working out in the end. So, good job all around.
Joe mentioned Chad Ryland, and I heard your response a little bit. So, oh my God, or whatever.
It was quite the night at the podium for the Patriots tonight.
Right. So Chad hits the game-winning field goal, but I mean, he's been struggling. Whatever. Any idea on why he's been struggling so much, or are you hearing anything, or are you seeing anything when you look back at the tape?
No, I do not watch special teams tape all that often. There's been a lot of them, some of the eclectic variety that I've covered in my career, including Lindo Mare with the Dolphins, who they're just those kickers, man. They're a different bunch. I remember Lindo Mare used to be such a baby about having to kick on the infield at old Pro Player Stadium, and he used to blame everything on that. And, good for Ryland that, he's been struggling and he comes through. In that circumstance, another second guess that you could say was Sean Payton not using his timeout to freeze Ryland there and giving him more time to think about it. Just another example of, I thought this was an awful Sean Payton game in a lot of ways. Ryland had quite the press conference, extended press conference, between Zappe, Mr. Cloud Nine, and, Ryland giving everybody the trials and tribulations that he's gone through this year. It was quite the evening at the podium, but good for those guys. They've been through a lot, both of them. Certainly got their fair share of criticism, which has been warranted, at times, but they got it together and got the Patriots their fourth win of the season.
All right, we got Matt in Denver on the line. What's going on, Matt?
Yeah, so I guess my biggest issue tonight really is Chad Ryland. A fourth round draft pick costs us a first round QB. So we're probably looking at a tackle now. What do you think?
Did it cost him a QB, Greg?
We'll see how things shake out. The Patriots will probably likely lose to the Bills next week, and then the Jets game. I like them in that spot. I have a feeling that the Jets will have one foot out the door. We've seen that in years past where the Patriots, they credit them, credit the coaches, and credit Bill Belichick. They always get these guys playing hard. And, I think they'll play hard in that game. So you're looking at, 5-12 at that point? you know, it might be tackle time. There are, I want to say there's like six or seven with first round grades from what I've seen. I don't know if the Patriots can afford to go with the, well, we sort of have them all grouped together type of thing. I think whoever they think can plug and play at left tackle, I think they need to go and get that guy. And if you get a plug and play left tackle and then you have Michael Wenyu at right tackle, you know, you figure out some things on the interior. Hopefully Cole Strange comes back at some point from his knee injury. Hopefully it doesn't keep him out all offseason. And, you know, maybe you have something to work with, especially if they get a new offensive line coach in the offseason. But, yeah, tackle's a pretty big need as far as I go. And if you can't get Marvin Harrison, I don't know if I'm going wide receiver that high.
All right, and just to give you a few names, Fashanu from Penn State, Joe Alt.
Yep.
Will be there. Fuaga from Oregon State, Latham from Alabama. There's a top five that probably could all go in the top 20 as far as tackle goes, and it might be one of the biggest positions for the New England Patriots. We'll pause real quick, 10 seconds, for station ID here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.
Rager will split to the wide side right, Parker to the left. Douglas motions to the right. Gesicki stands up a tight end left slot. Elliott off the left hip of Zappi. On a 3rd-and-9 snap from the 11, Zappi drops back.
Run.
Got running room to the right. He throws to the back of the end zone. Yeah. Touchdown, Gesicki. New England expanding its lead. Bailey Zappi didn't run it. He slung it, and he found Mike Gesicki for the touchdown, his second of the season.
Oh, man, Zappi on the move here. I mean, cool as a cucumber. Pockets collapsing. He slides up. I go running. There was room to run. No. He knew where the line of scrimmage was, and he waited. He waited for Gesicki to clear on that back end line, run under the goal post, and it's a dime.
Oh, the player that delivered the freight is presented by Freight Plus, their fastest-growing private company in Massachusetts, providing fully customized Fortune 500 freight solutions to shippers throughout New England. For over 35 years, visit freightplus.io. That's FreightPlus.io. Leroy, that is Taylor Swift, in case you were wondering who was singing this song.
Right now? The singer?
Yes. Okay. Joined by Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, there's plenty of people who are waiting online tonight. I figured, why don't we go to them? And then we'll ask you the questions and we'll line it up. Let's start it with Tom, let's who's go. In Nashville. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas. Big fans.
You too, man.
I just wanted to talk about Zappi. I think the commentary has gotten a little crazy. I think that we're falling into this trap where it's like if the team wins, it's because of the quarterback, and if the team loses, it's because of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think he did anything super special today. You know, I know Greg said an offensive lineman blew that block on the fumble, but to me it seemed like he had a couple seconds to get rid of the ball. I think he wasn't great on some critical third downs. I thought he was able to have some space to run up the middle, which he didn't. And then I think Kurt Warner correctly said on a slant foul in the fourth quarter, on a third down, he threw a slant to Rager on his shoestrings, who fell down and didn't get the first down. And Warner said, you know, if that's an accurate ball, it's a big play. So I just think, you know, add that to the three and outs that occurred basically every drive after that special teams touchdown. I just think many quarterbacks could do what Zappi did. So I just wanted to kind of put the other side out on the table for a second, you know?
Right. Many quarterbacks could do that, Greg, right? Or could they?
I would concur with Tom that, you know, I agree with his, you know, overall assessment. I mean, and especially his first point about, like, you know, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was, you know, Brady being here or the fantasy impact and stuff like that. But, like, you know, I just think way too much gets put on the quarterbacks, you know, good and bad. It is funny that, you know, it just seems like, you know, if the Patriots lose and Zappi doesn't play well, we don't hear much about it. But when the Patriots win and Zappi somewhat plays well, it you know, means X, Y, and Z. And you know, look, I think that he made some good plays. I disagree with Zoe on that call, the touchdown, even though I think it was a really good play, him hanging with the play for so long, because it took Gesicki a while to get over there. And I don't think it's something Mac Jones would have done. But I actually think the protection was really good on that play. And he sort of, you know, had all day and he didn't really need to run. But like I said, not a lot of quarterbacks would hold on to the ball that long in the red zone. And I think sometimes Zappe gets away with that. Sometimes he doesn't. There was a sack earlier in the game when, you know, the protection initially was okay, and then all of a sudden he decided to spin out of it like he was Lamar Jackson. And, you know, he got walloped on the sack when, you know, if he just realized who he was and just sort of threw the ball away or threw it out of bounds, that might have been a better play for the Patriots. But I thought for the most part, you know, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, probably when I go back and grade this game, I would say it was a he'll get a positive grade, you know, in the end, but I don't think it's going to be overwhelming. I mean, you know, like I said, his first half last week against the Chiefs, it was the best I've seen a Patriots quarterback play in 3 years since I sort of started tracking this stuff when Mac Jones was a rookie. But then again, his second half was probably the worst performance that I've seen from a Patriots quarterback in that same time. So, you know, maybe he's getting a little bit more consistency, that getting more playing time, that always helps with a young player. They always get better the more they see, the more they experience. But I also think the Broncos were complicit in this. You know, we were talking about a pass defense that's 25th in the league in DVOA. Their rush defense is 32nd, you know, in the league, which the Patriots really couldn't exploit at all, which was a big surprise. That just shows you that they were loading up against the run and, you know, gave Zappe some avenues to make plays. But, you know, for the most part, I thought he played, you know, good winning football in this game. But I agree with Tom that I wouldn't go nuts about it.
Does the team get credit for winning this game without offensive line? They're probably their best receiver. Considering that Zappe did throw two touchdowns and a rookie kind of led the way offensively, do they get credit for that, or did the coach just simply outcoach the other coach?
Oh no, I think they get credit. I think they did a good job for the most part. You know, I do think, you know, you're looking at the Denver defense just, you know, isn't that good, and so that sort of evens things out with the Patriots and some of the injuries that they've had. But, you know, injuries on the offensive line have been a consistent theme this whole year. It's probably been, if you're pointing at one reason why the Patriots fell the way that they did, it would be injuries and just poor play along the offensive line. And Zappe hasn't been immune from that. And I would say that, you know, Zappe has done better handling that. Now, it's a whole chicken and egg discussion on whether there was some stuff from this year back to last year very early on that sort of just gave Mac Jones PTSD. Some people will say that. Some people will just say that's the way that he is. And, you know, it's hard to say anyone is definitely right, but there's little question that Zappe in his small sample size has dealt with that stuff better. Now, is it because he wasn't subjected to it for a year and a half? You know, I don't know. We'll never know the answer to that question.
All right, let's talk to Gino. He's in Danvers. What's up, Gino?
Hey, Joe. Leroy, Merry Christmas to you. I didn't know the big boy was going to be on, so I'll be on my best behavior. Probably not talking X's and O's here, but hey, look, this one was for the real Pats fans here. The real Pats fans remember, hey, Shannon Sharp calling the National Guard. The real Pats fans remember Ben Watson running down Champ Bailey, should have been a touchback. The real Pats fans remember Gronk 4th and 10, didn't get the 2-point conversion. My point being is, hey, look, the Broncos, we hold a grudge. We just knocked them out of the playoffs the same way Steelers a few weeks back. We got to take onus in that. And we got to enjoy that. It's a very Merry Christmas. It's not.
Thanks, Cheeto. Enjoy the eggnog, bro. Enjoy the eggnog. But you know what? If you do look at it like that, this was kind of a payback. The Broncos essentially may have been knocked out of the playoffs today. So maybe that was Chuck. Hey, you've talked about the coaching mismatch here. Belichick outcoached Peyton in the long run, and it basically knocked him out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's certainly that something that the Patriots could have used for motivation going into this game. They don't really have much to play for, but you know, there's definitely a satisfaction for a team if they can, you know, put a damper, if not, you know, basically ruin a season for another team. And so, you know, and just, you know, getting on that long plane ride and going out there, what the hell? You might as well go out there and play your butts off and get a victory. And so, you know, credit to all the players and coaches for rallying in a tough situation to really put a coal in the Broncos' stockings, because it doesn't look like they're going anywhere anytime soon.
All right, we got Dave in Norwell. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Everyone's happy. You will finally win a game. Hey, listen, you guys keep on putting the noose out for Belichick. And my thinking is, why would you do that? And the guy's he's just a first-round he's like a best coach in Boston forever. And you act like he's too old and he's not doing a good job. And then on the other side of the coin, you say he's got no respect for the reporters. And you guys are all like, you know, you're hacking at him. And you know, he's not that good of a coach. It's the games passed him by. None of that stuff is true. They had a terrible year. And I think it's directly due to injury after injury after injury.
Hmm.
And that's my feeling. I think the guy deserves a chance.
How about four wins, Dave? Four wins,
okay. Divide that in how many lost players they had during the course of the year.
Next man up has always been the Patriot way.
Right, right. But you know.
He didn't it's Christmas. I'm going to be nice to you. The roster building, I think, is the biggest issue. We watched a pretty good defensive coaching performance tonight. And for the most part, all year long, it's the talent and it's the guy who makes those talent evaluations and picks those players. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. I know they had some injuries, but in the end, that's what it is. Right, Greg?
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, this is a team that has posted their third losing season in 4 years. They don't look any closer to the playoffs. I understand Belichick's resume. I have a great deal of respect for him and what he's accomplished. I can tell you that, at least speaking for myself, my evaluations of him as a coach, as the head of football operations of the Patriots, has zero to do with how he handles the media. It doesn't affect how I do my job one way or the other. You know, and he made this bed for himself. You're exactly right, Joe, with his, you know, terrible drafting, you know, inability to, you know, bring in a really good free agent class when they did spend. He hasn't extended anybody of their quote unquote young talent. And all those guys are up to be free agents. They had zero depth coming into this year. I picked them 7-10 basically because I said they have zero margin for error. And you, back when the Patriots, you know, were winning games, I mean, I remember, you know, crappy teams when, you know, the 2011 team, while they were great on offense, they were god awful on defense, but they found a way to go to a Super Bowl and nearly even win one. They've gone to AFC championship games, you know, with guys like Matthew Mulligan and Austin Colley having to play, you know, quarterback and receiver. And you could say what you want about that. That's because of Tom Brady, and I'm not going to argue with you. But there's no question that the depth that we've even heard Kraft about talk over the years about how, you know, their middle class is the thing and their depth. And that has just evaporated because they don't draft well and they don't develop well because Bill has let just their talent and their assistant coaching staff just wither away to nothing. So they can't coach up the next guys, the Ryan Wendells, the Dan Connellys, and those guys that you need during a football season. Everybody goes through injuries. Everybody does this even more and more each year in the NFL. And if you don't have the depth, if you don't have the coaching, then this is what happens to you. I mean, look at Ryan Wendell, who interviewed for the offensive line coaching job here, along with Adrian Clem. The Patriots hired Adrian Clem. They let Ryan Wendell go, and he's basically resurrected that Rams offensive line to the point where it looks like nobody wants to play them come the playoffs. And this was a team that was, you know, just awful a year ago. And so I just think it's hard to make the case for Belichick. You want to make the case for Belichick, the coach, the head coach? I can do that, and I agree with you. But when he brings on all these duties at 71 years old, going on 72, if he can't do all the duties, that also falls on him. And that's just where I think he is at this point in time.
All right, Greg Bedard, we'll have more with you from the Boston Sports Journal. Leroy Irvin's here I'm Joe Murray. Merry Christmas to everybody here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
He's missed four of his last seven field goal tries.
56.
He will have an opportunity from straight on, 56 yards away from victory for the Patriots. Cardona over the football. Behringer's right knee is down. He shows Cardona his right hand. Ryland Waite's leaning forward in the stance. The snap, the spot, the kick clears the line. Sailing to the uprights. The kick is good! The kid did it with 2 seconds to go!
Honestly, I didn't waver in confidence at all because I knew the guys that I had around me still believed in me and have believed in me all year. And that means more to an athlete and even more so a kicker than I think I could even put into words, is having that support system of the guys. You get guys like Matt Slater coming up to you and telling you, hey, man, we're going to need you in the fourth quarter here. Like, that's what it's turning out to be. And Matt the prophet, it came true. So I'm super thankful and blessed to have a team around me that supports me through anything.
I didn't hear all that. Well, this season, as part of the Apex Cares program, Apex Entertainment will be donating $100 to the New England Center for Children for every converted field goal. Every point, every dollar helps. For more information, go to apexentertainment.com. You must have went through the audio there, Greg Bedard, because we did not have the Boston Sports Journal. I gave you the quote earlier, but man,
Matt the prophet
behind him. I mean, when the kick got set up, did you think he had a shot at it? Like, we've seen the kid kick. He's got a leg, but I thought he had no chance.
Yeah, I pretty much thought he had no chance. I thought he was going to dead shank it or something like that. I mean, you know, where he was, but, you know, give him credit for, you know, being mentally resilient. And those are the type of moments for a young player where maybe it can turn everything around for him. And he was obviously struggling with confidence, which happens at that position. That'll give him a big boost. But, of course, he needs to go out and make his kick against the Bills, or none of that matters.
Just wanted to talk about DeMario Douglas's night. He finished with 5 catches for 74 yards. He's got 44 catches now on the year. It's the most receptions by a rookie under Bill Belichick. I mean, I think this is a guy that when Kendrick Bourne comes back next year, Pop Douglas can be, you know, inserted right into that offense. And if they can get a top receiver, I mean, they have something to work with here, but he's been very impressive. And, you know, right now, you know, he passed Deion Branch for most receptions in a season for a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think some of that, along with a lot of things we talk about, needs a little context, because I don't think that they were throwing a bunch of quick games back in Deion Branch's game the day. The game has changed a lot. I'd like to see sort of a spray chart on where his quote unquote catches come from. But, you know, there's little doubt that DeMario has a ton of talent. We saw that very early on in training camp. I heard very on early from one of the coaches that I talked to, who said that, I heard this from a player after one of the early games. And they basically said, like, Douglas was the only good player on the offense, that somebody that they had to worry about. I think with the role that you saw him in today, a lot in motion, a lot in the slot, he was, you know, cooking that guy, McMillian, the slot cornerback. That's got to be his role. I think that he could be sort of the next great slot receiver for the Patriots. He's going to have to, you know, worry about punishment and things like that, but he has that type of talent. The better coaching he gets, the more he takes the coaching. I think he's had certainly a nice rookie season. Had a big third down drop today, which was unfortunate. But, you know, over the course of the season, I think he's done, you know, a really nice job for a rookie, certainly, you know, a sixth round draft pick.
All right, let's talk to Gabe. He's in South Carolina. What's going on, Gabe? You're on Patriots postgame.
Hey, Greg. Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys.
Gabe, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hey, do you guys remember 2014, the Super Bowl? Do you guys remember the sideline shot of Brady right as the interception happened?
Yeah. With Butler, yes.
Yeah. Remember him jumping up and down, squealing like a little girl?
Yeah.
That was Bailey Zappe today, right after. I don't know if you guys saw post-game. They showed the shot of him after the kick went in. That was him jumping up and down. And it's just another one of many reminders of how far and how quickly we've fallen, man. It's just tough, man. You know, it's, you know, 3 years, 4 years, and now we're a 4-11 team. Is that what we are? What we are, Greg?
It's a 4-11 team. I have no problem with him celebrating. And again, I just want to bring up that Zappi had two rookie guards out there. They were rotating Vedarian Lowe at tackle tonight. He's without Hunter Henry. He's playing with rookies. I thought for whatever he had, he played the best to the ability that he had.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with that. But Vedarian Lowe was out there a lot when Mac Jones was out there as well.
That's
so
right.
Was Antonio Maffey. Yep. And they even had more issues at right tackle before they finally, you know, junked all that stuff. And it's just been, you know, like I said earlier, I think the offensive line has been the biggest issue on this team. And I don't, you know, a part of it is Belichick's construction and not going out and using a premium pick on an offensive tackle that could be developed. Signing Calvin Anderson and, you know, Riley Reiff,
Adrian
and
Clem.
You know, who was the other one?
Well, Adrian Clem they brought in too, and that didn't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been, I don't think the coaching has been very good for that unit from what I've heard. And Adrian Clem has been out for, you know, multiple weeks now dealing with a health issue. I think Bailey did a nice job today. I understand him celebrating. I do have some issues with the way he conducts himself as far as, you know, comes out and he's on cloud nine, and I want him to feel good about his performance. A game-winning kick when he's a starting quarterback, it means a lot to him. I understand that. It's just, you know, it's a 4-11 team, and it's just I don't know how excited you can get, but that's probably just me. I'm sort of like an old school DB when it comes to that stuff, you know, sort of like a grumpy old man, but that's just me. But there's no question that he played well today. He's played well enough for the team to win two of the past 3 weeks, and good for him.
All right. He's Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. You going to be on with Felger and Maz this week?
I will. I doubt that Felger and Maz will be there, but I will be.
Somebody will be there. All right. Merry Christmas to you, Greg. Go enjoy the rest of go get some sleep tonight. I know you got kids in the morning.
We'll see.
Appreciate you joining us here, and Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right. It's Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal.
Hey, it's Felger here, and in the NBA, the game can change in an instant. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you'll get an instant dub. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook and only with the code SPORTSHUB. The crown is yours.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 or older. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Is it possible to help businesses of all sizes transform, grow, and thrive? With the advanced connectivity and intelligence of global secure networking, it's happening. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Hey, it's Felger here, and in the NBA, the game can change in an instant. But no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you'll get an instant dub. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on the DraftKings Sportsbook and only with the code SPORTSHUB. The crown is yours.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 or older. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Is it possible to help businesses of all sizes transform, grow, and thrive? With the advanced connectivity and intelligence of global secure networking, it's happening. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
When your team's best players have all been traded and the latest pick is overrated, just raise a glass with a friend or two and tell them more, tell them more, tell them more, do. May your team be great and your picks be true, and if it falls apart, you'll know what to do. Just raise a glass with a fan or two and tell them more, tell them more, tell them more, do. It's a crazy world, so what do? You tell them more, tell them more, tell them more, do. Hey!
Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, imported by William Grant & Sons, Inc., New York, New York.